And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, covering some ground across the northern half of our state. I'm talking about we are way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. Man, we got a bunch of folks that are chimed in right now on the text line. John from Pike Road, I see you, brother, and I know who that is. That's a friend. I appreciate it. John, I'm glad you're listening. Al from Athens is now on board. John from Huntsville, Robert from Madison, Ken from Rimlap. I'm glad we got somebody from Rimlap down there in Blount County, down near Aniana Way. Text lines are open, 833-687-4448. A number one of the Triple Dipper. I'm calling it defense on defense. A little play on words. Here's the deal. The Biden administration sent over a budget. Congress felt like the budget did not accurately reflect what was necessary. Congress also felt like there were some policies that needed to be changed. Congress also felt like there was a woeful decision being made by the Secretary of the Navy to decommission ships without building up our Navy. And so a lot of things happened. And then there's also woke policies that are at odds and things that are happening right now that are basically the NDAA did far more than just put some money into the budget. What it also did, though, was it removed the vaccine mandate. We'll get into all that kind of stuff for our military. We'll get into all that kind of stuff here in a minute. But the truth of the matter is this. As I began to read it, I kept thinking, now I know that there are times when Congress is probably protecting, you know, the industry in its, you know, district, or, you know, trying to look good for the folks back home. But I really feel like this budget, though, despite the fact that I'm concerned with some of the means by which it passed, I mean, when you got a $847 billion budget that's 4,406 pages long, and they drop it on the floor and give you 2 days to figure out what's in it and then pass it, and it contains things that are not related to defense, like, you know, how to protect coral reefs and stuff like that, I get it. There's some things in there that need to be done different. In the end, though, this segment is not focused on that. This segment is focused on, how many things did we actually get done in this NDAA that also kind of put the Secretary of Defense on his heels a little bit, like, hey, Congress says, no, you're not going to do it that way. Well, here's a few things. Number one, military.com, they do point out that this, and by the way, all you green suiters out there, thank you for your service. Those of y'all that are retirees, thank you for your service. You're about to get a pay bump. And it's a good one. The National Defense Authorization Act endorses a basic pay raise for 2023 of 4.6%, which is higher than 2022's 2.7%. So, this story came from military.com, dated yesterday. It's a 4.6% increase, which will mean about $1,300 more per year for most of our junior troops of all the branches on the average, and then about $2,500 more for senior enlisted and junior officers. And I'm not sure what it'll mean for senior officers. But, good on you, Congress. Now, it doesn't quite reach the level of inflation. I mean, we're still at 7.1% inflation, so a 4.7% or 4.6% pay bump, that helps. Doesn't quite reach where they would have been in terms of spending power this time a year or two ago. However, it's still something. So there's that. That pay increase is more than what was being asked for, or roughly on par with what was being asked for by the Biden administration. What else is in this bill? Well, I'm going to get into some of the big ticket items on some separate stories, but I've got one right here, though, from Wall Street Journal, which breaks down a bunch of stuff. So let me hang on this article just for a minute. So they cite it as an $858 billion defense policy bill that authorizes military leaders to purchase new weapons, increase pay for troops, do all these things. The 4.6% pay raise I just talked about. It also, by the way, increases housing allowance by another 2%. So in essence, those of you that receive BAH, a basic allowance for housing, in the service, you're getting a pay bump there, and you're getting a pay bump in your actual payroll. So there's that. What else is in there? How about weapon systems? Well, the bill authorizes more than $160 billion for aircraft, missiles, ammunition, combat vehicles, Navy ships, other equipment. So it's a huge set-aside for actual equipment and weaponry. What about the military's court system? I didn't see this one coming. This one's a little odd. This is taking the manner in which we have administered the UCMJ, the Uniform Code of Military Justice, for, I don't know, ever, and changing it. It's going to make the military justice system subject to having randomized court-martial juries, meaning kind of like we do with a civilian sector where people get called in and then a jury is selected. Well, it's not that way in the military very often, if I'm not mistaken. It's comprised of officers or senior enlisted who were appointed to be on the jury. This is going to change that. So it does have some changes on what judicial and prosecutorial powers commanders can have over certain offenses, and we'll see how that plays out. I'm not sure how that one got in there or what the intent was or why. Vaccine mandates I'll get back to. How about this? NDAA funds $10 billion, with a B, billion dollars over the next 5 years to finance sales of weaponry and military equipment to Taiwan to bolster them in the event of incursions by China. That's a huge, big-ticket item. And that's an upfund, I believe, from what the Biden administration was asking for. But $10 billion to another nation, with whom we have, by the way, maintained what they call strategic ambiguity, meaning that we don't have an actual, you know, status of forces agreement. We don't have an actual NATO ally, per se, where we fall back on provisions within the NATO alliance force structure that requires us to respond to Article 5. None of that. Taiwan. But Taiwan is crucial, and Taiwan sits there. And some experts say, and I've got one article that says that they believe that Taiwan may be under threat of invasion by China by the year 2027. $10 billion in this NDAA to fund 5 years of sales of weaponry and military equipment to Taiwan. Wow! All right, how about this? Another $1 billion. This is odd. This is interesting. Another $1 billion to buy minerals like hard-to-get metals and lithium-ion battery ingredients for our defense stockpile, because we've been depleting them. And, oh, by the way, because guess who has the majority of them? China. So $1 billion in the defense budget to be able to procure rare earth metals and other things necessary for our lithium batteries for military hardware. Didn't see that coming. $800 million for Ukraine. And then here's one of those policy decisions. So the Navy has been preparing to retire 5 of the 9 littoral combat ships. Well, you know, first of all, you look at it and go, those things are not very old. They were built right here in Austell Boatyards in Alabama. The littoral combat ships, they have not been around very long at all. Like what, a decade? And the Navy's already wanting to retire 9 of them? I've heard they have problems. Congress says you're not retiring them. You're not going to retire them. They are considered high-tech, fast-moving ships with lean crews designed for pursuing pirates, detecting mines, plying coastal waters, which I think is basically a redesign of the mission that they were originally talked about for. That being said, lots of money being spent on lots of things in the NDAA. Now, let's talk about the one that everybody knows. All God's children know the vaccine mandate has been crushing the soul of recruiters left and right. It's been killing morale. It's been causing people to lose their careers. It was an ill-conceived vaccine mandate. And I will say this, okay, out of all the mandates that Biden tried, I don't want to say this made sense, but go with me here. Out of all the mandates that Biden tried, private sector, you know, medical personnel, that try defense contractors, it was just ridiculous. This is the only one that I felt like he actually had the authority to make, truthfully. He's the commander in chief. These are his troops. He said, get the shot. So while I see this and recognize the authority he acted on this one, perhaps constitutional at the very least, what did happen, though, was there was a real serious concern by so many troops that they were violating their religious sentiments and that they were asking for a mere religious accommodation, and they were being wholesale denied. The law requires they be given a case-by-case review under the Religious Protection Act, and that wasn't happening. Courts left and right now have been finding that the Department of Defense has been basically just jacking people around, ruining careers, and not giving them due process like they're supposed to. Well, it's crushed morale. It has reduced readiness. It has depleted our ability to recruit, and it's got to stop. Well, it looks like it's going to stop if the president will sign the NDAA. So more on that in a minute, but here's the deal. The National Defense Authorization Act does pull the vaccine mandate completely out. Democrats believed, according to a story here on CNN, they weren't going to pass the NDAA without acquiescing to Republican demands. But I will say this. Most of them were trying not to get in the face of the Democrat president. But most of the Democrats recognize, as much as anybody else, that it's not working. I mean, you're going to have some liberal schmoes out there who are not going to give in. But the reality is, most Democrats, along with the Republicans, recognized that a vaccine that doesn't stop you from getting sick is not really a vaccine, and that everybody gets sick even after they've had the shot. Why would you make that mandatory and end the careers of highly trained individuals? I don't care if you're a mechanic, a truck driver, or a SEAL team operator. The reality is, you're trained up and you're a part of the fighting force, and then you're losing your career. Well, CNN reports the Senate voted yesterday afternoon to pass sweeping legislation that would authorize the NDAA. It has now cleared the Senate. It is headed to the president for signature, and the provision to rescind the military's COVID vaccine mandate is included. It comes after congressional Republicans had pushed for its repeal. House GOP leader Kevin McCarthy praised the provision, saying, quote, "The end of President Biden's military COVID vaccine mandate is a victory for our military and for common sense." I agree with that. There was a proposed amendment on the floor by Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin and other conservatives that would have reinstated members of the military who were discharged for refusing to get the vaccine back in the day, but that amendment did not pass. So right now the question becomes, what are they going to do with those who already lost their careers? What are they going to do with people who are flagged? What are they going to do with people who were pending discharge? I mean, when you're flagged for promotion, that's a career killer. They better lift the flags. If someone got a counseling statement, they better remove the counseling statement. If someone lost their career, they should have the opportunity to come back once they realized and changed the policy. I mean, daggum. All right. That being said, the White House declined to say last week whether Biden would sign because the Biden administration reiterates the president continues to support the mandate. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin is also on record saying he believes the mandate should remain. I don't know. Maybe they're just covering themselves. Maybe they're just not wanting to stop for a second and realize this has reached the point where you can't defend it any longer. And like I said on the show the other day, before we go to the break, I'll point it out here. Agent Orange was a great idea when it first started. Anthrax vaccines were a great idea when they first started. And Mefloquine, which was a malaria medicine that the DOD had to quit using, was a great idea when it started. All of them were proved to be incorrect, and the DOD policy did away with them. It's time to do the same for the vaccine mandate and suck it up, Secretary of Defense. All right, Boomer, take us to a break, bro. We'll do it right now. Take this break. Come right back. I'm in number one of the Triple Dipper. The defense is on defense. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, listen, we got some other stuff here in this section I'm doing right now called the Defense is on Defense. Story here from the National Guard Association, really a press release issued by the National Guard Association NDAA covers more than vaccine repeal. Okay, they're excited about this, apparently, but they want to make sure several other things are pointed out. The new National Defense Authorization Act has several other provisions impacting the National Guard. The NDAA only authorizes spending, but the dollar amount that will be available to the armed forces will be stipulated in defense appropriations. Among the NDAA's guard details, one of them is this: transitional health care benefits for guard soldiers and airmen separated from active duty. So, in other words, if you get called up for active duty in the guard, you're going to be able to maintain TRICARE insurance for at least 30 days after you leave active orders. So there's that. You go from Title 32 to Title 10. And then you get 30 days of additional insurance coverage after you leave. That's a good deal. Other language in the measure requires a study, just a study, but it's step one, a study on providing no-cost TRICARE Reserve Select and dental coverage to all Guard and Reserve members. And I think that's a win. I mean, TRICARE Reserve Select, we used to use that. You do pay a portion of your own premium, but you get to buy into the plan. And then you're participating in a larger plan that allows you to use your home doctors, and I think it's a great perk. It's a great recruiting tool. So yeah, there's that. There's also a provision in there that would require the appropriate service secretary to backdate the effective date or rank for any guard officer waiting more than 100 days for federal recognition. So if you're not familiar, hey folks, listen. Here's the deal: if you get promoted in the guard, you have to get what's called federal recognition. Federal recognition basically means like, hey, state of Alabama wants to make that man a colonel, but we've got to wait until someone at the Fed level says, that's a good idea, go ahead, Alabama. Because when you're in the Guard, you're in state status until you're activated. So that being said, federal recognition can sometimes take a long time, and then you got a guy's career that's being stymied. Well, what they're saying here is, hey, federals, if you don't act within 100 days, I mean like over 3 months, then guess what? They're going to promote under the assumption that you don't have a problem with it. So there's that. That's also in the NDAA. The language ending the Pentagon's controversial vaccine mandate does give the Defense Secretary 30 days from the date the president signs the NDAA to rescind the mandate that members of the armed forces be vaccinated. Such a move would end separations for personnel refusing the vaccine, which has been a huge thing in the Guard. You think it's been a big deal in active duty, man. The National Guard has been raked over the coals by the vaccine mandate. In Alabama alone, I think the number was something like 11,000 troops we were about to lose. That being said, they've already lost 8,000 in the National Guard from separations due to the vaccine. And those, by the way, are the involuntary separations, I believe. It doesn't count people like my friend who went ahead and put his paperwork in to get out on his own steam so he would know he could get back in later if he wanted to. One thing not in the NDAA for the Guard, they wanted to do a Space National Guard for Space Force, and that did not happen. That actually was in and got pulled out in the Senate version, I believe. I will reiterate, and CNN reiterates, story from last week is the White House will not say if the president is going to sign the NDAA with the vaccine mandate removed. I got a text here from John from Huntsville. In fact, he just asked me right now. I just happened to see it. Says, Phil, do you really think Joe Biden's going to put an end to the military vaccine mandates because he quite often does not do what he should do? I agree, John. I think in this case, he's hornswoggled. I don't know how he can possibly justify keeping it in place. I think there's going to have to be, at the very least, some kind of accommodation process that's going to be enhanced for people to apply for their religious accommodations. But anyway, all that to say, John, I think he's going to have to sign it. It's a bipartisan issue. His own party is saying this is a killer for us. In fact, when you start reading between the lines, John Kirby, the spokesperson for the National Defense Council, National Security Council, he said that they believe it's a repeal is a mistake, but they do take some comfort in the high level of vaccination rates they already have. That tells me they're like trying to soften the blow. All right, we're going to wrap this up when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, the local, the state, the national, dude, we got it all. And we cover down solid, conservative, and just plain right. Man, the text lines are blowing up. If you want to join the text line, by the way, people text the show all the time with their comments, their questions. The number is 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Boomer, who's new? We got several new ones in the last few minutes.
Yeah, we got Jenny from Addison, Alabama. I think we called out Ken from Rimlap.
Yeah.
We got, let's see here,
John from Pike Road.
Yeah. And Jason from Jasper, Alabama.
Yeah.
Al from Athens. I mean, we've got a lot just right now. I'm trying to come up with all of them that are new.
Yeah. I
mean, that's very cool. Anybody.
I see Badger from Athens is saying happy holidays to all the Right Side folks. Thank you, Badger. We appreciate you.
Yes, sir.
Ken from Rimblatt says great show. Thanks, man. Appreciate that. Jeff from Indiana's got it going on, though. So Jeff from Indiana, our buddy who's a over-the-road truck driver, is stuck. He said that really just across the state line from Alabama going into Tennessee, I-65 has a overturned tanker across all lanes going north on the state at the state line. So if you're heading north on I-65, you need to find another way around right now.
Yes.
If you're using Waze, it'll probably tell you. But yeah, you need to find another way around that because apparently I-65 is blocked just past the state line going north. So Jeff, blessings on you, man. Sorry to hear that. All right. Well, I take it back. Jeff was actually on his southbound. Jeff was southbound. He's just coming into Huntsville right now, he says, passing the big old rockets, he said. So I'm glad to hear that. So it sounded like Jeff was seeing it on the opposite direction. But
oh, good. Maybe he can go around it then.
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully. Hey, listen, back to the number one of the triple dippers, I wrap this up. And by the way, bottom of this hour, you want to stay tuned. One of our newest state representatives, Ernie Yarbrough, from right up here in North Alabama, he'll be on the air with us. You're going to want to hear that conversation. He's a good dude. All right, the NDAA, the National Defense Authorization Act, the budget for the defense. There are some aspects of it, like I've been saying here, number one of the triple dipper, that has put the defense on defense. Here's a story that's not quite the budget, but it leads into what I was about to say next. There has been a nauseating pursuit of wokeness and the pretending that we are systemically filled with extremism in our ranks. That has been a whole part of this administration we've been in for the last 2 years. Well, for instance, here the article I've got from Fox News dated today. Representative Elise Stefanik, a Republican out of New York, she accused the Defense Department of slow-walking a review of a diversity official who recently tweeted out that she's exhausted with these white folks and said the delay is an attempt to shamefully cover up a radical woke agenda. So if you're not familiar, what happened this past late summer, I believe it was, August, I think, it was discovered that a lady by the name of Kalisa Wing, W-I-N-G, Kalisa Wing. She's the Chief of Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion at the Department of Defense Education Activity. In other words, she's responsible in some way for diversity, equity, and inclusion at all of the DOD schools overseas, which, by the way, I used to go to one myself, London Central High School in London, England. She got caught because she's brazen enough, because she feels empowered by the current administration to be out there on social media as the diversity, equity, and inclusion officer saying things like, I'm just exhausted with all these white folks. And then saying things like, you know, promoting social justice books for classrooms that called 911 responders menaces. So anyway, there was supposed to be a 30-day review by the DOD of her statements and positions. It's been well over 90 days. And Representative Elise Stefanik wants to know, what's up? Well, so the NDAA is basically saying, let's put an end to some of this stuff. Here's a story from Roll Call. So Rollcall.com has literally put our, I guess, put the DOD on defense here, because under previous NDAAs, the Biden administration has been pushing for constant, you know, extremism training, and the Secretary of Defense halted all training and put everything on a training stop for, you know, a period of time to go through extremist training. And you were hearing things about critical race theory being in the ranks, and people having to do privilege walks, you know, and stuff like it's just on and on and on. Absolutely should not be happening. And by the way, I spent 30 years of service. My family is generational service. I've got friends and family still in the service now. And I can't tell you anyone who agrees that there is some form of systemic racism or extremism in the ranks. Now, the military is a reflection of culture. So you're going to have the one-offs. You're going to have nut jobs in uniform as much as you have nut jobs not in uniform. But being systemic is like saying it's pervasive. It's everywhere. It's the majority. It's what we do. No. No. Well, story from rollcall.com, which is, you know, doesn't seem to like this, but here it is. The lawmakers who wrote this year's final defense authorization bill deleted or diluted all 8 House-passed NDAA provisions pertaining to extremism. In other words, they pulled them out. Most of the discarded provisions the House included in its initial version of the NDAA merely sought information about the threat posed by groups such as domestic terrorists, criminal gangs, and organizations committed to advancing white supremacy or anti-Semitism. Because, yeah, they're everywhere. Watch it, man. Got Klan rallies going on in the barracks. No. Of the 8 provisions, 7 were completely removed from the bill that is expected to become law. The expunging of domestic extremism provisions from the final fiscal 2023 NDAA has not been previously reported, meaning Roll Call is saying, ain't nobody saying this but us. Well, they are the only place I heard it. The deletions come 5 months after the Senate Armed Services Committee, in the report accompanying its version of the NDAA, issued non-binding language calling for an immediate halt to the Pentagon's counter-extremism programs. The danger of extremism in the ranks, the committee said, does not warrant the time and money being spent on training and education to prevent or root it out. I agree. I mean, we're looking right now, by the way, if you're not familiar, one of our congressmen from Alabama, Mike Rogers, represents the eastern side of Alabama. Mike Rogers is about to be the chair, not ranking member anymore, but the chair of House Armed Services. It's going to be a big deal for Alabama. But they tried to reach him for comment. They didn't get him, but he has been on record in the past saying that he's adamant that the Defense Department's civilian leaders are too focused on so-called woke pursuits, from countering extremism to welcoming transgender service members. He has promised to closely monitor it, and the Department of Homeland Security has called domestic extremists the most serious terrorist threat to America, but Republicans generally disagree. Yeah, I'm pretty sure what's happening in terms of extremist terrorism cells around the world is far more, of a threat than the perception that there is something systemic in America. It's ridiculous. All right, we're still on the NDAA. Got a little more. Some of y'all are going to love this. How many of my Navy vets out there can I hear a call? Okay, so defensenews.com. Headline, dated yesterday, Congress is building a stronger fleet than the Navy. This is interesting. This is an opinion piece, by the way. It's not like true reporting. It's Representative Rob Whitman, and I'm not sure where he represents. I need to look him up. Anyway, Representative Rob Whitman starts off by saying in this piece from DefenseNews.com, last Thursday, the House voted on the NDAA for fiscal 2023 that secures the future of our naval fleet for another year. Fortunately, Congress improved the Navy's FY23 inadequate shipbuilding plans in critical ways. Says we rejected the Navy's ship construction plans, their decommissioning schedules, their force structure proposals, and their overarching threat assumptions. Basically, what they said was, Navy, you don't know what you're doing. It's interesting. I mean, so every once in a while, you look at Congress and you go, y'all, let the generals do their jobs. Let the admirals have their say. Other times, you look at it and go, man, I am glad Congress stepped in. So this is one of those times, I guess. His opinion, Representative Whitman's, says fleet capacity can't be sacrificed in the near term. China is going to likely aim to reintegrate Taiwan by force by 2027. Our entire force structure should be optimized to prevent conflict at the time of our greatest vulnerability, and our president must have options to respond appropriately. He says, in his words, this will necessitate holes in the water with a deep arsenal of weapons. I'm assuming that Representative Rob Whitman is a Navy vet. He talks like one. He says, for this reason, Congress rejected the Navy's request to retire ships that still have service life remaining. The judgment from Congress conflicts with Navy Secretary Carlos Del Toro's recent comments that many members of Congress have been very supportive of decommissioning the ships. Apparently not, because many members of Congress just rejected you, Mr. Secretary. Congress is willing to build more ships than the Navy, is the conclusion of Representative Whitman. All right, last one, last piece. Cybersecurity, it's the wave of the future. Got family members in the realm of cybersecurity? Well, cybersecurityonline.com. Dozens of cybersecurity efforts are included in this year's US NDAA. And by the way, think about it. Cybersecurity, what's that mean? They're going to do just protect from hackers? Yeah. Think about what happens if major hacks occur across our electrical grid and shut down power. What happens if major hackers get into our GPS guidance systems? What happens if major hackers get into our telecoms and begin to shut down our critical infrastructure, or we can't process water at our water treatment plants? It's a big, hairy deal. And when you consider what a cyber attack could do, a cyber attack, in my opinion, would wind up being the prelude to a major attack. Last week, members of the U.S. House of Representatives and Senate reconciled their versions of the annual NDAA, and it contains a wealth of primarily military cybersecurity provisions. Things like, and I'll give them real quick, upfunding U.S. cyber commands, what they call the hunt forward operations, meaning that going on the hunt, being more aggressive in reaching out to protect our systems. Increased funding for cyber mission force operational support. $168 million for cyber mission force operational support, management and oversight of joint cyber warfighting architecture, and protection, like I said a moment ago, of critical infrastructure is a primary defense mission. So Congress saw fit to upfund our cyber capabilities and to do so in a very robust manner. All right, did you hear that? No vaccine mandates. Nothing special for the National Guard, but some perks. Lots of new Navy ships being built. Upfunding, raises for people still in service, including your BAH for housing, and then on top of that, cybersecurity. All right. How about that, Boomer? $847 billion explained. Take us to the break, brother. We'll do that. We'll come right back, put a capstone on it, find a maple bacon donut, and bottom of the hour, State Representative Ernie Yarbrough calling in. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.